Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, hello, everybody. Happy Party Friday. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden. Chuck is in hair and makeup. He'll be down here pretty quick. A lot of stuff to talk about, but we wanted to, and we're going to have our own Johnny Johnson on at the bottom of the hour to talk about his campaign going on in HD5, but wanted to open up with author Scott Powell. He's the author, we've had him on before, of that great book, Rediscovering America. And Joe Rogan is now copying him. Scott had a column up in Town Hall talking about this Department of Defense directive. Joe Rogan is now talking about it. And Scott, when we were chatting before, you said everyone should be talking about it. So welcome to the show and tell us what we're talking about here.
Thank you so much. This new development, unknown by almost everyone, that has extremely serious implication is the U.S. Department of Defense, the DOD directive, number 5240.01, and you can look it up, just DOD directive 5240.01, it'll come right up, you can read it yourself, and there have been revisions made to the original document on August 27th and September 27th, so really quite recently, a month ago, and this effectively authorizes and expands the reach of military power on U.S. soil, which is a development with extremely serious implications. You know, when we think about military power being used in America, I think we all think about, you know, foreign threats with the military being directed against adversaries outside our borders. But what would happen if this directive would turn American military power inward? Well, it couldn't happen before this directive because of the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, which was passed after the Civil War during Reconstruction. So that's more than, more than 150 years old. And it was enacted, the Posse Comitatus Act was enacted to prevent the Union forces, which were occupying many southern cities, from getting in the business of law enforcement and abuse. And so this was to prevent blurring of the line between the military and the police. This new directive unblurs that line, really. Huh. This updated DOD directive 5240.01 loosens the criteria for the use of deadly force by U.S. military on American civilians. It also creates a fast-track process that authorizes the military to act in chaotic situations that might be associated with, you know, with citizens, groups' exercise of their right to protest,
wow,
a constitutionally protected First Amendment right. So it's pretty serious. Let's just think about it from another point of view. Let's say it set up a system, and it provided this rapid transition to military action. If we got accustomed to seeing military in public places on U.S. soil to keep or restore order or confront civil disturbances, question would be when and where would that end?
Yeah.
And then we would effectively be no longer civilians in a democratic constitutional republic, but rather subjects in a national security state, something that is really quite unbelievable for us freedom-loving Americans.
Right. Well, you know, I have so many questions. First, let me ask a clarifying one. So we do see situations like where, like, say, the National Guard is called in, right, to help,
yes,
with various kind of,
yes,
things. How is this different than that? I mean, what did they change?
Well, the National Guard should always be called in for, you know, protecting destruction of property or, you know, or restoring order when there's chaos. That's the role of the National Guard, which is controlled by the state, I might add. It's not a you know, trans-state military force.
Right,
It's really limited to the state. So it's really a state issue. A military force, though, would mean that the U.S. military would be authorized to take action against American civilians in any state. And, you know, what's alarming about the language of this August 27th update of 52.40.01 is the mandate for readiness for large-scale unrest. That's their language, not mine.
Right.
Large-scale
right.
unrest, authorizing the military to assist in civil disturbances where there is a perceived threat to public safety. The problem is, of course, that public safety is a somewhat of a subjective term.
Right.
And those with the task of enforcing it might have political bias or simply make a mistake, as they did in the 1967 Detroit riots, the Kent State University shootings of 1970, and the Los Angeles riots of 1992, following the acquittal of the officers in the Rodney King beating. But because we're so divided now, and we're more divided now than ever before, and there's a lot of really, really bad attitudes that are being projected through the media. I mean, we have Hillary Clinton and even Kamala, I think, accusing Trump of being being the next Hitler, you know, being a Nazi. This is totally irresponsible.
Well, and let me ask you about this. I mean, we've seen, even when Trump was president, we saw, you know, he had generals who were calling China on their own, right? We have other generals now who are apparently just making up lies about the lies about what Trump did or didn't say regarding military burials and things like that. So on one hand, one might think, well, but, you know, hey, the military is under the control of the president. But we've seen, it seems to me, that there are some in the military who don't consider Donald Trump and maybe wouldn't consider Donald Trump the commander in chief. Right. And may just take, I mean, talk about a coup kind of thing.
That's right. That's right. I mean, when was the first coup? The first coup was the people behind Kamala Harris.
Yes.
People that wanted to oust Joe Biden and install a replacement, Kamala Harris, without a single vote, no primary vote.
Right. Well, and here, one of the things, too, and let me get your take on how this might all tie out, because this is something I've been talking about. We hear, I mean, today in Colorado, there was a story about, you know, in Mesa County, they had like 12, basically mail ballots were stolen. Other people filled them out and voted them. And some of them are counted. We've seen stuff going on in Pennsylvania. We've seen stuff going on everywhere, Pennsylvania, in Virginia. And what I worry about is that the Democrats are gearing up in case Kamala loses, that they're going to then turn around. I mean, you've had Democrats say, well, we won't certify the election. And then my fear is that they could use the military to basically say, hey, look, we now declare the election invalid. And anyone who questions it, and by the way, we have John Kerry saying get rid of the First Amendment. Anyone who questions it is the enemy. And it sounds like what you've said is now the Department of Defense has given the military sort of a free rein to handle this kind of thing. Or is that too insightful?
No, I think you're making some very good points, Julie.
Okay.
Think about, the Democrat deep state folks. They are deathly afraid of us,
right?
Our side, if you will. And of course, it's not really us, it's American citizens, and they have different points of view. But we would be the side that would be pointing out that they are in the process of stealing the election.
Right.
Already told us, Democrat leaders like Jamie Raskin and quite a number of others have already told us the election results will not be known for days.
Right.
Which will be used for introducing hundreds of thousands of fabricated ballots while simultaneously triggering false flags to induce chaos and distraction from the vote fraud. So what are these false flags that we might expect to happen? Well, you know, the one that they played so often is this racial issue false flag, like the death of George Floyd, which triggered riots and destruction of property across the country. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We shouldn't overreact, though, to even violent incidents such as a Trump bomb going off near a polling place. That's easy to pull off.
Right.
And it might happen. You know, we should be aware also that to not overreact to incidents of terror or violence instigated by foreign enemies, such as Hezbollah terrorists from Venezuela, who are scattered around the U.S. after illegal entry across the southern border. And it isn't just those folks. There are others. I heard today, I was on a call with the Committee on the Present Danger. There are approximately 100,000 military-aged Chinese that have crossed the border. 100,000 Chinese. And China is our number one enemy. This is incredible what we've allowed to happen in our country.
What about in terms of, you know, you talk about the false flags. So we saw in January 6th, and the FBI still won't talk about it. They won't release the information about how many essentially FBI either agents or informants were part of, you know, instigating things on January 6th. So I think we're talking about, if people just joined us, with Scott Powell about this new DOD directive. And even Joe Rogan, as I said earlier, Chuck, is talking about this too today. But I mean, we saw them... The other side, the Democrats instigated this, or the deep state instigated, I think, a lot of what happened on January 6th. The media then blew it completely out of proportion and went with, you know, domestic terrorism kind of thing. I would think, and then they all blamed Trump, right?
And so they may have timed the break-ins of the breaking of windows and sort of the violent action of a few to come very close to the time when Congress was certifying the votes.
Right.
And that, of course, caused them to scatter. They went to a secure area. They broke up their meeting of certification, went to a secure area, and then came back to do their voting in the evening after things had sort of died down.
Right.
And it was at that point that they rushed it right through. In other words, the whole purpose of the gathering at the Capitol was to show the American people's support for honest elections, that we didn't want votes certified that had problems. And there were about 19 states that had problems. Not that all 19 would have not certified, but there were certainly 7, 8, or 9 states that likely might have held back the certification had things gone differently that day.
Right.
But because of the chaos that was created, then there was this heightened feeling that we got to get this done. We're uncertain of what's going to happen.
Emergency.
Let's just get it done. And so they did get it done.
The
election was certified. Joe Biden is the new president.
What the timing of this, I'm curious about. I mean, what was their reasoning for the first? You said they kind of updated it in August, and then they updated it again in September. What was there an explanation given for this, or what's your explanation?
Well, the update on the 27th specifically inserted new language for a mandate for readiness for large scale unrest. That alone is kind of disturbing. It's like they're projecting that they expect large-scale unrest.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing, too, what they're projecting, and this is the thing, it's not as if, what's concerning to me is, why does the military need to do this? All of the states have plans and have had plans, in place for years. They do all kinds of training. I mean, the city of Denver does a ton of training. They're prepared to handle large-scale unrest, right? They don't need the military. We've seen here in various ways the military kind, or not the military, but the federal government infiltrating places. I mean, why is it, do you think, that all of a sudden, all of a sudden it's like states and cities can't handle the large-scale unrest that they've been handling for decades, right?
That's right, yeah. Well, you know, we're really at a time of I'd call this, November 5th, the second American Revolution, because, you know, we're in the process of the theft of the election even as we speak.
Yeah.
It's planned. If we don't have a bona fide and relatively honest election, we really don't have a constitutional republic. We don't have a legitimate government. So, you know, and, you know, we won't know, but certainly the aftermath of the election, where there's uncertainty, where they're still counting votes, I mean, the odds are become more and more favorable.
Right.
That the ballots are going to be produced to get Kamala Harris over the finish line. I don't know. I think that Trump's really got such a lead that it's too big to rig, but we just don't know.
Right. Well, and again, like you said, it's alarming that all of a sudden now the military decides under Biden's administration that they need to get themselves involved in, and as you said, be willing, I mean, basically able to shoot Americans on American soil for protesting, basically. I mean, that's sort of what the bottom line of this is, right?
Yes. I mean, Kamala Harris has said, and I don't have the exact quote, but she has said, and I think much of the audience probably heard, that Trump was going to turn the U.S. military against the American public.
Yeah,
that's a totally irresponsible statement. But again, she's projecting what they're planning to do.
Right. And then, Chuck, you're the historian. I mean, this is kind of how they do it in other countries, right? When they want to take over things, right?
Yes.
Well, the National Guard's been involved in riots and states, you know, for its whole history. And they can be called out. They could have been called out for January 6th, although Pelosi and others blocked it. Whether they're anticipating stealing the election and therefore will need the military to enforce it, which is the implication, maybe so. But right now, I must admit, I'm feeling pretty good about the election. I'm feeling pretty good about the polls. I'm feeling pretty good about the incredibly pathetic performance that Kamala Harris has given us. So I must admit, I'm very optimistic when I'm not normally optimistic. And so, you know, maybe the military is going to kill us, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm optimistic as well that that the votes are there for Donald Trump by a fairly large margin. If the vote counting goes on for days and days, you know,
yes,
you would have the insertion of ballots, but it'd be very hard if it's too big to rig, they've got a problem. But then there's the other card, and we were inferring that, you know, unrest might break out, and it's unrest that would be provocateurs who might.
Right, exactly, exactly.
I mean, we have elements from China. As I said, 100,000 Chinese military-age men are in the country. China is our number one enemy. Certainly, Xi Jinping would want to, you know, does not want Trump to be put in the Oval Office. And then we have Hezbollah, you know, terrorists from Venezuela who are now in the U.S. in large numbers, and they've all crossed the southern border. You know, we've really had our country jeopardized by the Biden-Harris, you know, lack of an immigration policy. Open borders has got us to a very terrible place right now.
Right.
Could be set for, you know, for deep state political operatives to take advantage of the chaos and the fog of confusion to manipulate public opinion so as to blame Trump supporters.
Right.
You know, which could then justify their mass roundup and arrest by the military, one might assume.
Well, and one of the things I worry about, too, is that, you know, all these fake lawfare cases against Trump are still hanging out there. I could see some judge, though, decide, OK, I'm going to send Trump to jail. Right. And all of a sudden you've got that. And as I said earlier, we've seen that the people in the military are not friends of Trump. Right. I mean, openly defying him, openly trying to tank him. And I could even see, as you said, a scenario where there are the you know, some New York crazy judge says, OK, I'm going to put Trump in jail now for, you know, the E.G. E. Jean King, civil trial. And then the military arrests him. There's unrest. And as you said, who knows? Like you said, you've got foreign agents who may get involved. I have no doubt that the Department of Justice will have its FBI, provocateurs on their own, able to do things. And all of a sudden, if you're a Trump support, Elon Musk will be taken. I mean, I could just see so many bad things happening.
I can see a lot of great things. And
Well,
I must admit, doom and gloom and everything else, and the happiest time in election history is a bit much. But I mean, we do have to be aware of it. We do have to be on guard for it. We do have to believe that they're willing to do anything.
right. I guess that's
But
my
the biggest
point.
thing you got to do is go vote.
And therefore we ought to be on guard, and everyone listening needs to be on guard not to take the bait. This is what
Exactly.
the false flag events are always geared to do, is to drawing people in into violent illegal activity that then can be used against the whole group, really. And the
Right.
media always plays a very big role in all of this. I think back to what happened after the vote fraud of 2020. Do you know that there was massive intimidation of the media from reporting on vote fraud,
Oh, yeah.
but that came from none other than the Dominion software company?
Oh, sure.
Software threatened million-dollar lawsuits against American Thinker, against any publication that mentioned their name being associated with vote fraud, and every
Right.
single media outlet backed down, every one of them.
Right. And then and they settle.
I was deplatformed because I wrote about the Dominion
Right.
role, and I quoted Dominion people. I mean, they basically projected that they were not going to allow Donald Trump to be elected. Dominion Software senior employee said that. It was on record. Well, how? I mean, so they knew that they had the power to flip votes, and they did.
Yeah.
Yet
No, I
well,
it
I
no
don't
one
know
would
if
stand up to them. Everyone was afraid of this,
the Democrats. Well,
huge.
no, and you're right. I mean, yeah, we've got friends who are, Randy Corbin being so. Tina Peters here in Colorado is doing
Oh,
9 years
I
in
feel so
prison.
sorry for Tina Peters. Has she been? Has she reported? She was
Yes.
nine years in jail.
They took her from court.
They immediately remanded her into custody.
Put her under shackles and
And they hauled her
forever.
right out. Hey, Scott, listen, I hate to cut you off because this has just
Yes.
been so fascinating, but we have to go here. Where can, because you're like Trump, though, or like Trump, like Chuck and Trump. I mean, I know your book, Rediscovering America, you are ultimately hopeful about things, though, right?
Oh,
Where
very
can
much so.
people,
Very,
where can
very,
people?
very much so. What we have to remember that God is still on the throne. We know in the history, recorded in the Bible, that God moved against evil rulers and, changed, raised up rulers that were more effective, none of whom, were spotless. They were all sinners. They all had problems, just like Donald Trump. God only has sinners to work through. And I think that Donald Trump's been raised up for a time such as this. He has the qualities of character. I mean, he has courage, he has faith, and he has a persistence that is unstoppable.
This is true. Hey, Scott, where can people get your find your book and find and read
The
some
book
of
is
your
still
comments?
selling well. It's on Amazon. You can get it on Amazon. It was 8 weeks number one in the history genre. But
Wow.
it speaks to the times of today, just as it did, even more so today than it did 2 years ago when it was written. And it's a great book for families because it's short chapters that focus on how God's hand was moving at you know th through a particular time that was ultimately celebrated with a holiday. So people talking about the holiday book, but it's really. It's structured around the holidays, but it tells these very powerful stories that aren't found in other history books.
All
Okay.
right.
Well, thanks so much for
We
coming
appreciate
on. We
it.
appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right.
Wonderful to be
Scott.
with you
you again.
All
Let's do
right.
it.
Thank you, sir. Thank
Okay.
you. Scott
Wonderful.
Pablo, he was the topic of the day. Like I said, Joe Rogan is talking about this. All kinds of people are
Well, that's
talking about
interesting.
it.
Do you know what time he's going to? Speaking of Joe Rogan.
Trump, yeah, I don't, well, he's not talking, I mean, I don't know what time Trump is appearing on Joe Rogan. Oh, Sanders says great guest. Oh, Charlene says great guest. That's right. That's right. I think it is interesting, though, and it's just worth noting, because I think, like you said, it's like we can hope for the best. And it's unusual that I'm the doom and gloom and you're
You are a
optimistic.
little doom and gloomy.
But I think we need to be aware. Wanted to talk a little bit before we, Johnny, if you're listening, we can bring you on here in about 5 minutes. Wanted to bring you guys up to date on some of the voter issues in Colorado. What I find interesting is that it's being actually reported on. So I think there were some, who knows, but in Mesa County, they had at least a dozen mail ballots that were stolen, filled out, and submitted. Three of them ended up being counted and will be counted. Turned out that they were stolen, went from the mail, and somebody, a lot of it in the same handwriting. Now, this is 12 that they know about. I pointed out the day after we received our ballot in the mail in our subdivision, all kinds of mailboxes were open, clear, and somebody put it up in like next door there from their Ring camera, somebody clearly going around and going through the mailboxes too. So clearly that's happening in Colorado. And I think what's interesting is that the votes will be counted, right? And so Marshall Zeilinger with Channel 9 is like, well, they'll be counted. It's like that's bad, Marshall. It's kind of like he's like, well, it's only 12, kind of like it's, oh, it's only a handful of apartments that were taken
Well,
over by.
it could be thousands across the state. I mean, they don't know.
No, they, and Jenna Griswold admitted it was going on someplace else. We've got what in Pennsylvania, thousands of ballots they found filled out by the same few handwriting things, right? And the judge won't throw them out. We've got in Virginia, the judge, there are all these people who acknowledge they're not citizens and
They won't
therefore
let them be removed from the
it
rolls.
won't let them be removed from the roll so they can vote. I mean, they're doing everything they can. We've got this whole overseas ballot thing going on where we've got millions of people overseas that can vote more than actually live overseas. So that's an, many of them, coincidentally, in battleground states. Go figure about that.
Well, if you're overseas, some of the judges saying, well, you can vote wherever you want because you're overseas. So if you want to vote in Michigan, great, that's fine.
It's like mind-boggling, and it's not even funny. And so now we have the military; they can shoot us if we, if we, if
my
we. If
God.
a large, I wonder what large scale protests might be. Me and Chuck, I'll come down here, and you guys are we're the large scale protests. But I think though, all of it is because, as you've said, things are looking good. You can go be optimistic here now.
Well, I think we should be optimistic, and we should all get in our ballots as soon as we can. In the red state and in various states, the early voting is all going, not all, but is in preference to the Republicans, where in previous elections it's been awful. I've been for 4 years yelling and screaming, you got to vote. I don't like a system. I like one day voting, and all on Tuesday or make it a Saturday. But you can't play basketball in the NBA and say the three-point line doesn't exist. I mean, it's just
Two
pure
point, yeah.
stupidity. In the last election, Trump told everybody to get, go there on election day, and I kept on screaming and yelling as much as I could. And people don't understand. Get out the vote. You cannot get out the vote unless all your people vote early, and then you know who isn't voting. You get them to vote.
Exactly.
And so it really is at some point tiresome for that.
Well, now it's time. I mean, it's only a week away. Here, let me read this. So this is Charlene, you make a really good point here. Is this probably these 12 ballots that they had the news conference about, is this going to be Jenna's cover of Trump wins Colorado? She can't certify it, too many irregularities. That's a really good point. Leo, you make a point. Actually, I thought this point myself. Jenna Griswold is starting to look like she eats at the same buffet as Brian Stelter. Now,
Uh-oh.
I don't know. I saw that too, and I don't know.
She's
Maybe.
gained a little weight.
Well, and I don't. Maybe I don't. I don't. I don't have any theories on that. But I also kind of
Probably
noted.
due to overeating.
Noted. Well, maybe she's pregnant. I mean, I have to admit, I don't keep up on Jenna Griswold's personal life, so I have no idea what's going on. But what I do find interesting, though, is even George Brockler was retweeting some of the election stuff, right? And I mean, people who didn't touch it, the Denver Post reported it, people reported it. And Charlene, now I'm suspicious. I was willing to consider that maybe a good thing that people's eyes were being opened, but I think you could be right. I think that they are prepping us to be able to say, oh, there were too many irregularities in the election. Trump stole it. I wonder if that's what they're going to do. And from Charlene, didn't Jenna Griswold report that star? Is she grandstanding? She is. And County complained about it, actually saying they wish that she hadn't done it. I was thinking maybe she just wanted to get ahead of it, but you're right. I wasn't nearly clever enough. Jenna Griswold only does.
No good motive.
There's no good motive.
You could ever give to Jenna Griswold. She has shown time and time again, she's a partisan hack and criminal.
Right.
Any way you can get.
And one final thing, too, before we go to Johnny. I don't know if you guys, if you're on X, we had him on the show last election. He ran for Secretary of State, Mike O'Donnell. He's been doing some great work again going through the Colorado voter rolls. Here's just a few of the highlights. So 89 Colorado ballots have been mailed to a food bank center in a Denver suburb where nobody lives, 70 listed at their home. An apartment on Parker Road in Denver has an apartment. One apartment has 109 registered voters, all of them Middle Eastern names, mostly women. 16 voters live at an apartment, one apartment again in Denver, and they have list this address as their home. And then he's listed in the mountain communities. Hundreds of ballots have been sent to UPS and FedEx stores. Even though you can't use a FedEx, they don't have enough mailboxes for it, right? So they're just leaving the ballots sitting there. So that's just some of the things, you know, our gold standard here in Colorado election is at work. So, yeah, we'll keep you up on that. Hey, want to go to Johnny Johnson now, running for HD5. And Johnny, we have a little bit of your song that we could play here in a second. But, hey, welcome to the show officially.
Yay. Hey, thank you, guys.
Talk to us about your race.
Well, it's a race based on, you know, getting in there to change some things, maybe say no more than no has been heard before. And just I like the common sense kind of thing. And I went to a community meeting here on Wednesday and found a lot of stuff is going on in our little community that. And I wasn't surprised that Alice Valdez, my opponent, wasn't there because he probably thinks that, you know,
doesn't have
he doesn't have to show up to talk to the people. And so it's been interesting doing this for the second time around. First time around, it was, let's see, 4,000 to 13. So unless, you know, the Denver guys really get out, we have to overrun that 13,000
right.
By a little
a
bit.
Lot.
A little bit.
No problem.
Yeah. So.
But I want to play a little bit of your
song. What area is covered by HD5?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Downtown Lodo, over by the Capitol, up near Alameda and Broadway, and then over a little bit by Federal. You know, 12th and Federal and Alameda and Federal. So that's okay. Pretty much the area.
I'm going to play a little bit of this song. And you have your own, I guess it's a radio station sort of, right? And
yes.
and this song was added, but, and to give it, before we go into the song, give us a little bit of the background. So you had applied for grants for your radio station, right? It's from community
yes.
grants, right? And Mayor Johnston said, you know, we've given enough money to illegal immigrants. We're going to help some people like Johnny with this thing. But that did not happen,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah. And it was a federal, it was a National Endowment
okay.
partnering with Denver to give out these grants. So we were awarded July the 8th. And then the lady came back and said, well, we're having a little bit of a problem, but we won't be able to issue the grant until 3 months from now. So a lot of us had to just be patient and we had to, you know, get loans or whatever. Then the 8th came around and then I kept pressing them about like, okay, what do I have to do? Oh, you need to sign this piece of paper. So I signed this piece of paper. Oh, you need to get this paper notarized. So I got that paper notarized. And it just seemed like it. And then I said, well, okay, can I have direct deposit so I don't have to wait? And then they said, well, it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks. And then I pointed out to the financial manager that this guy said it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks. And he said, oh, he doesn't really mean that. It only takes 70 or 2 hours. And so it was just all this back and forth and back and forth. I'm thinking like, did you guys, and then I put in the word FEMA. Is this another FEMA? You know? And well, we just got the money
oh,
yesterday.
Good.
How much money?
Are you kidding?
How much money did you get?
It was only like 15,000, but it
Oh,
helps
that's
us.
okay.
It
Yeah,
helps
that's
us, you know.
okay.
It helps you. Okay. Well, let me work it. So you wrote a song about it, which is clever. Maybe the song helped make it go through. Thomas, if you
Yes.
could please play a bit of Johnny's song.
We got that email July the 8th. A $10,000 grant to help us pave the way from the National Endowment for the Arts. Inner Vision FM was playing its part. But a few days later, the story changed. Wait 3 more months, they rearranged. City and county, so sorry they say. But something feels off, it don't sit okay. Where'd the money go? We all wanna know. Promises made, but the cash don't flow. Is it for the arts or something else to show? Tell me, Mayor Johnston. Where'd the money go? We hustled loans, held fundraisers tight. Made that small Denver Foundation grant last through the fight. October came, but still no sign. Meanwhile, FEMA's saying flood victims can't get a dime. Heard about the grants for illegals here. 40,000 strong and the story's unclear. Aurora's filled with gangs taking homes. While we're still waiting for what's rightfully our own. Where'd the money go? We all wanna know. Promises made, but the cash don't flow. Is it for the arts or something else to show? Tell me, Mayor Johnston, where'd the money go?
I know. So,
Yeah,
okay, so
I
we got
like
a
it.
billion questions. It's kind of like,
Okay.
who wrote that song? Tell us about
Yeah,
that. I mean, that you got talent. Chuck is his own. Chuck tries to write music. So everybody loves your music. You've got a whole career. Well, obviously you have a career here, but tell us a little bit about the song.
I just took the concept because, I mean, we had all this stuff with the 40,000. I just put a lot of the elements of what was going on, and it does make you kind of curious, like, is you said 3 months. If you mean what you say and say what you mean, do it. And then if you notice that they closed down the some of the services that we got, and then all of a sudden 2 months later they opened those back up. And I said, well, where did they get the money to open it back up again? It's almost like, don't cause the rumors to happen
Right.
by then. And this is the longest I've ever had to wait for a grant. I've worked with the government before, but it's just ridiculous.
Well, here now, Leo is saying you got to post it on YouTube or somewhere. You do have YouTube, right? Or
Well, yeah, I did. I put it on. Yeah, it is on YouTube, and I can. I don't know if I did, if I sent you a link on that one.
you
Yeah,
did.
well, it just came. I think it just came out. Did it just come out the day that I just? Because I usually schedule those songs like to come
Well,
out
what
like.
do you, what's your YouTube channel? Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, it's at Intervision FM. And I think,
But that they can find it there because I found it too if you just
yeah, just
Google.
add Intervision FM. I mean,
Okay.
we have to be the only one. It has some numbers behind it, but I think it's like 1240 at Intervision FM, 1240.
That,
Yeah.
and that's so that, but we love the song. Let me
Oh,
just get
really?
back to kind of wrap up your thing. So where can people go if they
Okay.
want to help you out with the campaign or get more information?
Yeah.
Because I think, again, I think it's so hard for candidates like you, particularly conservative
Yes.
candidates, to get any kind of attention or publicity. So that's what we like. And let me make my disclaimer. Anybody else out there, if you're a candidate,
Yeah.
feel free to contact us and we will get you on here too in these last few
Yeah.
days.
But my political side, and oh, I get the emails from the Democrats. Thursday night they had they said, bring down your laptops and we'll supply you the numbers to call and follow up. And I think like, where's my email from the Republicans saying, hey, we're
Yeah.
gonna get together and make some
Yeah.
calls and follow up. But it's Johnny J four in the it's the number four HD5 CO dot com.
All right.
Well,
So
let's, I
everything's
hope
up
you
there.
cut down that 13,996
Yeah.
Johnny, thank you for your
Yeah.
time. Thank you for the songs too. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, you guys. Take care.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, I mean, I've heard that song. I'm like, I've been kind of like Charlene said, it's catchy. I've been kind of going,
Yeah.
do-do-do-do-do. Okay, good. Sandra found it. YouTube Inner Vision. That's INNER Vision FM. And it's a radio station that Johnny has, well, a an FM kind of podcast, internet radio station. So back to other political news. Interestingly, the whiny millennial, Gen Z, or whatever they are, reporters at the LA Times and Washington Post are melting down today because both the LA Times and the Washington Post have indicated they are not going to be endorsing Kamala Harris, like the first time in like a million years, right?
Well, the Washington Post stopped. It used to have a thing, we won't endorse people, back in, until the 50s, and then somewhere in the 60s they changed that. But ever since then, they've endorsed every president, Democrat. And so this is shocking. I mean, given the fact that you have a paper that is all filled with libtards. I mean, it's just all it is.
Except Jeff Bezos is a billionaire. So.
Well, he's a libtard. And is that going to please Trump that they didn't? I mean, he knows it's worthless. They know it's worthless. LA Times knows it's worthless. I mean, it's a shock. It's a shock.
You got to wonder, what's the motive? You're right. What do they gain by
not doing it? I mean, Trump go, oh, that's okay. Never mind.
And the Republicans would be like, oh, I'll start reading them. Well, because maybe they're thinking this. They don't actually have to endorse it. They're just going to keep printing all of the fake news about it.
Yeah.
And they'll just keep trashing Trump, you know, and they'll just keep doing that, maybe, so they don't have to.
I love a modern newspaper room where, I mean, I worked in a newspaper room back in Nashville. We little minions certainly did not control the roost, I can tell you that.
Right.
These publications, they do. I mean, back then, they were just like, get out of here, you're fired.
Well, and that's what they're all quitting. And it's like, which is good. Maybe that's part of it.
Oh, you won't have to do part of the layoff.
Right, exactly. Maybe these are papers that are
work for the LA Times. I mean, you know. I mean,
Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle.
Yeah, come on over.
Also, I would like to say the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle is not endorsing Kamala Harris.
We're not endorsing Kamala Harris this time.
Mark Smiley did not quit. good. Okay, Johnny, for those of you there, is putting stuff in about his nonprofit, which is great. Well, this is funny, talking about like the papers trashing everybody. This I thought was funny. You know, we were talking earlier, all of the October surprises, what they had some woman say like a million years ago.
Two of them, one of the Guardian, someone who was a US Open. She was a looker. I can see why Trump has costed her.
Yeah, well, he didn't, and he didn't. But the one where she was saying, that in 1993, she was walking with Jeffrey Epstein, who then said, hey, that's from his house, his brownstone, to go to Trump's house.
A brownstone.
So, oh, yeah. The problem is he didn't live there or own it until 1996.
No,
so she
problem.
Was 3 years off. But that doesn't stop anyone from reporting it. No one cares.
He suffered.
Yeah, no one cares. Doug M., just like on the liberal media, no one's reporting the Doug Emhoff story,
yeah,
right?
Doug can slap around anybody.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. But this was in the Babylon Bee at this today. I thought this was funny. Woman alleges that in 1993, Trump touched her inappropriately with classified documents while praising Hitler. I think that's funny. A woman alleges in 1993 that Trump touched her inappropriately with classified documents while praising Hitler.
What's the other one about Christy Blasey Ford?
There's another one saying that, you know, because there's been all this, like, you know, Kamala Harris, a friend said that Kamala.
She worked at
that. Well, no, she didn't even say it. A friend said that Kamala Harris's mother, who was now dead, told her that Kamala worked at McDonald's.
Yes, of course. I believe that one.
And then somebody I think it was the Babylon Bee, said it was Christine Blasey Ford.
Right.
Christine Blasey Ford said that.
Yes,
so the Democrats have no sense of humor. You know what?
I got a big sense of humor.
So your sense, and like you were talking, and Chuck does not get very cheerful or hopeful. I'm still like, they're going to, now we've got the military, will shoot us. But you talk a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, it's for the last 10 days, Kamala has had made her media blitz, and it's been a disaster. She's lost, you know, everybody sees her as the idiot she is. It's been, you know, there's no how friendly the outlet is. She won't answer questions. We probably should pay some of her players some of her non-answers, which are, you know, thank you for the question, which I will not answer. And the national vote, I mean, I don't know the last time a Republican won the national vote, but it's been a while, is tied. And there's another poll out just a few hours ago. Virginia is down to a couple of points. So it's looking tremendous. All the swing states are for Trump. A lot of these Senate races, which really looked like the Republicans didn't, they look like they were going to take the Senate because they only needed two seats, and one was in West Virginia. And there was another one in Montana that looked they're actually going to take. But now, though, all these other ones, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania. I mean, everything is rolling the Republicans' way, and that's what it tends to happen. Kind of like Carter versus Reagan, 1980. Very close up until the middle of October, then everything went Reagan's way. And that's what it feels like. It just feels like that, and the Democrats are angry and very unpleasant to each other, even on the cable channels.
Yeah, they are. I mean, hence that headline. It's just so funny. Trump is Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin. I mean, it's like
Well, just go straight to,
and Satan, although they
yeah,
like Satan, so
they like Satan. So
that's
they
yeah.
don't want to piss off the Satanists.
Yeah.
No, sirree.
It's
That's a big voting block in Michigan, so you want to avoid that.
The Democrats do seem to just not actually get, at least the Democrat political apparatus, that like all of their policies are hated by Americans, because largely because they don't work and they make life more difficult for Americans. And that people may not like Donald Trump, but they've been calling Donald Trump crazy. And it's like, who looks like the crazy one, right? Who looks like the joy candidate? You know what I
Well, the
mean?
joy
The
candidate's not
Democrats
so
are talking about,
joyful anymore.
no, they're not so
Not
joyful.
so
They're
joyful anymore.
crapsters anymore. And so, you know, but again, I just am anymore just deeply suspicious about why they're doing this, right? Why? What are they? Because they're evilly sneaky, right? All of a sudden, the cable channel, CNN, they're reporting actually some truthful kind of things. And
Yeah,
it's like,
very
yeah,
strange.
it is
It's
very
an
strange, you
end of
know?
days kind of event.
Right? Where they do that, and you know, what are they preparing for? And again, I think it's, I saw another Babylon Bee that said Democrats warned it could take 4 years to get on
Yeah,
the
I could
ballots.
kind of Joe, hopefully be still in good shape.
It becomes a question, right? What do they do if it takes forever to count the ballots? Then people file lawsuits, la la la, and January 6th or whatever the day is this year comes around and rolls around, right? I mean,
Joe will be there for
Joe will be
sure.
there. Yeah, Joe. I read a thing. It was kind of funny. It said that Joe is kind of sad because they're not letting him campaign as much. It's like, you think, Joe? It's like, well, he's sad because he wants to tank Kamala, you know? As
Right,
does Bill Clinton, I think, who's winding around saying, oh yeah, that illegal immigrant, if he hadn't been around, then that person would be alive. Now he's saying that Carrie Lake is attractive. It's
yeah.
like, it's
I
like.
wouldn't mind accosting her in front of the bathroom at the US
Meanwhile,
Open.
Barack Obama is out there, making African American men angry.
Yeah.
It's like everything they try.
Well, and now, one of the big things they can do, and they do it every year, is bring Bruce Springsteen out, right? He was awful. His voice, I mean, his voice is awful. I mean,
You were listening to it. Like Chuck was listening to that last night, right? We were sitting there, and after getting home from Rev's basketball game, but Chuck was listening to it, and I thought it was like a parody. It
yeah,
was so bad. I'm like,
right.
who is that? And you're like, that's Bruce Springsteen. I'm like, what? What happened to him?
Oh my God. I mean,
So,
so when Bruce Springsteen goes, I mean,
well,
the entire blue wall is starting to crumble.
exactly.
Starting to crumble.
Exactly. Coming up on Monday, we're going to obviously, kind of gearing up, heading into it. We'll stay on top of the election issues and the voter issues. I just think we need to talk about those because they're going to try to slam down really fast that you can't talk about it, right? And you can't. And anybody who tries, I believe, to raise a question about it,
Well, it's
unless they're a
too late.
Democrat.
Too late. They've already got the Pennsylvania one. They've already got the Colorado one. They've got some others. I mean, it's obvious that, they've got federal judges. No, you can't take illegals off the voter rolls. Oh, okay. What was that analysis given? But,
Yeah, but it's interesting, and I think for you, as you said, it's looking good.
it's looking great. Now, can things go terrible? It can look terrible tomorrow. But right now, you got, and this, they always say the weekend before the election, it's over. I mean, you can't bring out a new
Facebook isn't going to be allowing any ads.
Facebook. Oh, yeah, that'd be terrible. And so it's but 2 weeks. This is the second weekend away, and I would say it's kind of like where the 40 was the old 30. Second weekend now that you already got in, 31 million votes have already been cast.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have some game changer, you really have to have it by this weekend for any real results. Other than fascist, 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 which I just, what do you think, Donald Trump, the two images that come to you? one standing up saying fight, 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 and the other in a McDonald's bib.
Waving, yeah.
Right, waving. And,
neither of which is fascist.
None of them say Hitler. Well, maybe the other one says it, but you know, the McDonald's waving.
There's a Heil Hitler with wave.
Yeah, which is really you know, an incredible fascist, put them in the ovens kind of deal. So you know, he's won the image war, and winning the image war is winning the war in many cases in politics.
Hey, listen, that will do it for us on this Party Friday. Happy Party Friday, everybody. Thank you to Scott Powell, Johnny Johnson, Thomas, and all the, and Doug, and everybody.
I'm going to listen to Johnny Johnson tape again. That was good. That was pretty good.
Intervision FM on YouTube. We'll say thank you, Thomas, everybody at BBS, and we'll see everybody. Have a great weekend.
Take care.